Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word this morning? Second Peter chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading with verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your presence that we have been able to sense in this service this morning. Thank you for the testimonies, the songs, the choruses. Thank you, Lord, that we have been privileged to be introduced to the one who can. So many things that we can't do, but we know one who can. Grateful, Lord, for the promise of your presence and the promise of your help. Pray that you would give us that anointing that is necessary this morning. For some reason, you have given us a hesitancy to even continue. Help us to mind you. Help us to be obedient to your voice. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A number of months ago, I preached with using the title, Be Careful Who You Follow. More recently, I preached with using the title, Be Careful Who You Listen To. This morning, I want to title this, Be Careful What You Believe. Be careful what you believe, because it matters what a man believes or what a person believes. Some people may question whether it really matters, but it does matter. Because some errors aren't just a small, insignificant error, they are matters of evil. Heresy is devilish. There are some principles that a person can follow that will lead to destruction. Now, we all have preferences this morning. We all have preferences in regards to the automobile we drive, perhaps the school that you go to or send your children to. You have a preference on color. Some people have a preference of some outlandish color, while somebody else just wants something plain and simple. It's obvious at a church dinner that people have a preference of foods. Some people even prefer to know who fixed the food. That's called preference. We think about it as being picky, but it's really a preference. Houses, we have a preference. Even if you live in a house that you prefer not to live in, you still have a preference. When it comes to fishing, I don't know if you could even nail down what all the potential preference would be on fishing rods or fishing reels and fishing lures, live bait, fake bait, all that different stuff. But when it comes to our belief, it's not a matter of preference. It's a matter of believing that which is right. And then believing or understanding why it is right. to know what we believe. Now, there's three things that I want to mention this morning. I know that you could break this down into so much that it would take us all day to look at, but I want to break it into just three different points as to some particulars about things that a person believes that really matter. The first one I want to look at this morning is that it matters what a person believes about God. The world over believes in God. They may claim to be an atheist, but in so claiming, they are still admitting that there is a God. Their God that they are serving may be self, but there's still a God. Unbeknownst to them, they're still serving another God. And that would be the God Satan. It matters what you believe about God in the sense of who created what. It matters what you believe that God created the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, we're living in a day when that's becoming more and more a thing of the past. He measured the waters in the palm of his hand. He measured the universe with his span. He placed the planets and the stars with his voice. And he orchestrated their flight plans with his thoughts. That's God. It matters that we believe these things about him as the creator. Paul talks about the importance of keeping him as creator, or as the creator, as the proper God, and not worship the creation. We have to keep him in his proper place. The second thing I notice about him as God, or keeping our belief system proper in relation to God, is that he is a God of holiness. I know that in saying very much about him as a God of holiness is going to rehash some things that have already been preached this year as we looked at that subject for a number of weeks. But over and over again in the Old Testament, it tells us that he is holy, that God is holy, that he is the Lord of holiness, talking about his people need to walk and follow after him in holiness because he is holy. You find it over and over again in Leviticus. You'll find it in 1 Samuel. You'll find it through the book of the Psalms. And you come into the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah has that vision of God in the 6th chapter. And what he envisions and what he hears is that the heavenly beings that are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." To understand God and his holiness, we must also understand that there is an opposing context. God cannot be holy and maintain holiness in our mind unless we understand that there is an opposing context in our day. We call that sin or unholiness. And when we think about what we believe in relationship to God and his holiness, it matters what we believe in relationship to sin. What is sin? What you believe about sin. Flipping over just a page in my Bible to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, it tells us if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What does that mean, just in simple language this morning? What does that mean to say that we walk with God, or we have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness? And there's a lot of people that are wrapped up in these ideas, or in this idea this morning, that they have their own way of believing, and they have their own method of worship, and they have their own. Now they believe in God, and they believe they're going to heaven, that God's going to let them into heaven someday, but they don't have any semblance of what God is or who God is. They say they have fellowship with God, but they walk in darkness. Maybe it's not that that they're just rejecting everything about God or the Bible and what the Bible has to tell us, but they're rejecting the Bible as an absolute. You know, the Bible's okay, but it's not absolute. It's not the blueprint by which I have to govern. If you want to, that's fine, but I don't have to live by it. See, for us to have an understanding of God and His holiness, we're going to have to understand as well what the Bible has to say about that opposing context, sin. And it does have a lot to say about sin. Webster has something to say about sin. Webster says that sin is to commit an offense or a violation. So you can sin against a person, or you can sin against an organization, or you can sin against a country, but also you can sin against deity. And you'll find that he records that. Webster records that as well in his dictionary or in his writings. Sin against deity is to oppose deity, go against deity, go against the Creator, go against the Holy One. The context that opposes holiness is sin. And when a person sins, they are enfolding themselves in the context that opposes God, because sin opposes holiness. Sin separates us from heaven. Sin separates us from God. It's an offense or a violation against Him. You know, it's a sad thing when somebody transgresses against higher laws. When they break those physical laws, there's a sad thing that can occur. When a person will violate and break natural laws, we would call that stupid. You know, for me to climb onto the roof this morning and say that there isn't such a thing as gravity, you would call me stupid if I jumped off from the peak out here to the front. That's just plain stupid. You know, there's things that we define, that kind of thing. It's sad when somebody breaks the physical laws, and it's stupid when somebody tries to defy these natural laws. But it's tragic when people... humanity breaks moral laws. It's a tragic thing when people break moral laws. There's all kinds of sin that is rampant today, causing grief and heartache because somebody tried and thought that they could defy moral law. And anytime somebody defies moral laws or breaks moral law, there's a consequence to pay that is tragic. It's not just sad or stupid, the consequences of those things, sad or stupid, but it's tragic because eternity is involved. Sin is a violation of the laws of God. Webster also tells us that sin is an estrangement from God as a result of breaking God's law. Estrangement from God. You see, it matters what a person believes, because sin separates mankind from God, because God is holy and His place of dwelling is holy. Heaven is a holy place, and nothing that is unholy shall enter there. When we think about that, when we have the right belief about heaven and its holiness, God and His holiness, it ought to make us as humanity cry out, I don't want to be separated from God, and in essence, crying out, I don't want to sin. But it's really too late. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And since all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it's very important that we understand and believe properly about Jesus Christ. It's important that what we believe about God, but it's also important what we believe about Christ and His work. We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's simple enough, isn't it? Do we still believe that this morning, in spite of what everybody else is saying? Do we still believe that Jesus Christ is deity, that He is the Son of God? We must believe that He, as the Son of God, paid the price for sin. For the penalty of sin is death. Or the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm so glad this morning that we don't have to go through a descendant of Aaron as the high priest. I'm so glad that I don't have to go to him and try to find some kind of semblance of forgiveness. But when Jesus died, he opened the veil that separated common man from the mercy seat, the presence of God. When Jesus died, that veil, that separation was opened up. And when that place was opened up, the words were expressed, "Come boldly to the throne of grace." Come boldly to the throne of grace. We can go directly to the Father. We can go directly to the mercy seat. And because that Jesus died on the cross to pay our sin, we can come ourselves to the foot of the cross and plead for mercy and ask for forgiveness. Sometimes I think that we're getting a little bit warped in our way of believing what forgiveness is or asking for forgiveness. Lord, forgive me for doing this sin, or forgive me for doing this error. But really, forgiveness is more than just simply verbal communication with God or expressing that we have done something against Him or opposing to Him. Really, asking forgiveness is expressing to God also with our actions that we're done with that. That sin business has gone bankrupt. And when we come to Him with that sense of asking for forgiveness, that we're done with that sin, then the blood will cover. For if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It matters what a person believes about God, Him as a Creator, God and His holiness, and the opposing factor of holiness would be sin. And it matters what we believe about Christ and His ransom that He paid for us. The third thing I want to notice quickly this morning is that it matters what we believe in relation of the soul to salvation. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift we must receive. And it's a gift that in receiving suggests to our thinking that we are going a different direction. That we are turning not just a new leaf, turning over a new leaf, but we are beginning a new life. It matters what a person believes about the relationship that the soul has to salvation. We dare not deny the plan of the Lord. We dare not reject what God, through Christ, has given us by His grace. It matters what a person believes. Faith in the gospel is really the bottom line to what we're believing. The gospel is the good news of Calvary, right? The sacrificial lamb. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, deity, brought to earth to live and to die. And in dying, He paid the ransom for our sin. The penalty of sin is death. And He took that all upon Himself so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And in having faith and believing that the sacrifice on Calvary was for me, there is also that personal surrender or that giving up of my selfish desires to follow the man of Calvary. Absolutely, it's necessary for us to meet the conditions of salvation. It's not something that we just toy with. It's not something that we tamper around with or play with. But it's something that is necessary for us to have ingrained in our mind. We're coming to an age, we're coming to a day when we are going to be facing the questions that are being asked even this morning. You say you're not asking any questions. I'm asking questions that are undertones to what is being said. Do we believe, and how do we believe about God and holiness and sin and Christ and His sacrifice and the relation that that sacrifice placed mankind? It matters what we believe this morning. It matters what we believe and how we believe it and how strong we believe it, because we may have to face the time when we will be put to the test. Do you really believe this to the point of death? You say, preacher, you are gloomy this morning. Well, it's a little dreary outside. Let's just deal with realism in here this morning as well, because it's reality. I know this morning that the majority here, if not 100%, believe in the gospel, have accepted the plan of salvation as the corrective plan to fix the problems that are in a person's life created by sin. But how much do we believe it for ourselves? Do we hang on to it as just something to hang on to because mom and dad did, or the family does, and because it's the thing to do in our little circles, or is it because it's down, deep down inside of our heart? You know, it's important we be careful who we follow, and it's important we be careful who we listen to, and it's really important to be careful what we believe. I'm glad today that I've been able to see people that have led and paved the path to heaven. I don't have any doubt in my mind, you've heard me say it before, I don't have any doubt in my mind that there's some people that I know, that I've been with, spent time with, that are in heaven. And the ones that I'm most confident about are the ones that walk the old-fashioned way, the straight and the narrow way. You know, I don't know about some of this new stuff that's out. I haven't been able to really prove it to be effective to carry them home. It seems like some people that walk a little shallow when they come down to the end of their life, there's some question marks that they're dealing with. There's some struggles that are going on at the end. Oh, sure, they believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. They believe that He's the Messiah. They believe that He's the plan of salvation, that He's the only way. But they tampered around. They shortcut some things. And so in shortcutting some things, they found themselves coming down to the end of life and staring eternity in the face and realized that, oh, maybe, just maybe it wasn't quite this way. I needed to be a little more careful in certain things. Then there's some others that have come down, and the only sad thing that they have to make mention of at the point of death is how the enemy fights them, even to that point of crossing. But other than that, there's no doubt in their mind. They walked with God. They walked carefully with Him, and sometimes it was a mighty close walk they walked. But when they come down to the end, there was a confidence that everything was clear. Have you accepted that kind of salvation as the corrective plan? Or is it something that is just hearsay and verbiage, but nothing really to grip us in the heart to help us to carry all the way to heaven? Just be careful what you believe. Be careful what you believe. Peter said that there was false teachers back then, and he said there shall be also in the future. He said there might even be some that are among you who are trying to decimate the gospel, as it were. Tear it down little by little. Be careful what you believe, because heresy is evil. There's some principles that will lead to destruction. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Be careful what you believe. Let's stand together this morning. Remember the services this evening, regular time. Let's also pray that the Lord would touch and help in the revival meeting closing out in at the Shoals Holiness Church tonight as well. Is every heart clear this morning? Good to have Lauren home from college for the weekend. Lauren, would you dismiss us in prayer?